Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com. Episode 60. This is a monumental episode. Like, I thought 50 was a big deal, but 60 is kind of a bigger deal, you know?
Like Everest, big deal?
I don't know if I would say Everest, big deal, but it's a pretty big deal. So, anyways, as most of you can hear, I have Jeff Perry here with me today for this big episode. He's been here since the inception of the whole podcast, so he's had those days where I turn the fan on and I'm like, shut up, I'm recording a podcast in here. And then people come in the background, or the days where I didn't know how to use my editing software, GarageBand. And so the podcasts sound a little more muddled, a little shittier than they are now. And we've evolved to now having a studio room as opposed to doing it at my office desk where you can hear the fish in the background. Remember I'd tell you, shut the fish tank off or the fans off. This way I can do it without all the extra noise. So anyways, I want to thank everybody for their support so far. Having this podcast go as far as it has meant a lot to me. You know, it's easy to get discouraged from time to time when you look at a podcast and the listeners are down or something like that. It's easy to look and be like, why the fuck do I still do this? You know, because it takes time. But here I am. So anyways, obviously, I'm not here to brag about my pod. Actually, I kind of am. I'm here to brag about the 60th episode, but that's not what I want to bore you guys and girls with. So one thing that I was thinking about, I was in the shower the other day.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know. I wasn't doing anything crazy.
There we go.
I was just in the shower. So I was in the shower, just kidding. No, but seriously, I was in the shower and I was thinking about this. What is more successful, a person that was given $1 million to start a business and created a business, or a person that starts, you know, you hear the stories all the time. I had $20 in my pocket. I was on my way out of town. I was thinking about killing myself and I came up with this business and boom, there it was. So when I started thinking about it, and I don't know why I think about shit like this, it's just the way my brain works. And I was thinking about the millionaire and the temptation, the millionaire, the guy or girl that's given $1 million. Mm-hmm. What's the temptation? What does everybody say? Hey, if I had $1 million, I'd buy this. I'd buy that.
Right.
And so if I give a person $1 million, are they necessarily going to use that full amount on the business that they plan on starting? Or are they going to blow a bunch of it? So there's a temptation there. There's also a lack of discipline there in some cases where the person may not know how it is to have $1 million. And so they waste it and they don't know the struggles it takes to make it. And maybe they do some things that most people wouldn't do with it. Well, then you have the flip side, the guy or the girl with $20 in their pocket. And they have to decide, how am I going to create a business and get to a point where I can be successful and make $1 million to invest in a company? You know, I think the person that has the $20 in their pocket typically has what we call grit. And grit is obviously they've been to the bottom. They know what it is to be broke, to be poor, to only have $20 in their pocket. And so things that may hit them along the way may not impact them as much because they've dealt with much worse. And so they're in an upwards battle trying to figure out a way to make this $1 million. Then you have the millionaire over here who was given $1 million to start business but may not know about the struggles or about the uphill battles or the, you know, one thing you see with successful people, it doesn't matter who you are. Successful people, there's always a shit talker somewhere. There's somebody that has something to say because there's never a case where people are like, oh, you're successful, congratulations. It's usually, oh, who gave you the money? Oh, you did this. You know, you're a piece of shit. This is fake. This is real. Whatever it may be. Successful people always face some type of adversity or some type of thing that, where people are trying to bring them down. And the person that may have never had $1 million before may be able to face that and say, doesn't matter to me because I've been called worse. You know, in my position with me being homeless for a short time when I was a kid and us not having anything to eat and growing up in an abusive household and going through those things, water just rolls off my back when stuff like that happens. Somebody has something bad to say, I'm like, whatever, I was fucking broke at one point. You can't tell me shit because I know what it's like to be poor, you know? Does a person that has $1 million given to them, do they know that necessarily?
No.
And that's what I fear is a perception. So I fear that there's a perception there that, hey, this person doesn't know what it's like to be poor, or this person doesn't know what it's like to not have anything. And so the person who was given $1 million gets less credit. Does it take less work? to build a successful empire or successful corporation if you don't have the funding there? The viewers can't hear your head nod.
Does it restate that question?
Does it take less work to create a successful? Okay, so let's say you have $1 million and you say, I'm going to open up a Chick-fil-A.
Right.
All right. Does it take less success to be able to manage that Chick-fil-A and do whatever you can to stabilize that income and make sure that the money always stays there as opposed to it going away?
Less work.
Less work.
No.
So is a person that has $1 million given to them less successful than the person that makes their own million? No. I gotcha. Gotcha, motherfucker.
The thing is I'm going through this in my mind while you're talking about it too, because there are some people that, given $1 million, would do very well with it.
Right.
Then there's people, like you said, that would blow it. So as far as someone that has $20 that builds himself into an empire that, you know, becomes a millionaire, obviously they put in what it takes, like you said, the grit. There's something there. And the $1 million is still the same with the guy that has it given to him versus the guy that makes it. The $1 million is not the changing variable, but it's the person.
Well, okay, so let's take that now. So the person that has $1 million, okay, or the person that has 20, you have to have a business mind. You have to have a way to keep that money. If you don't have a way to keep it, then you're going to lose it. It's going to be gone.
Fast.
Extremely fast. Now, what about the person that has the $20 that builds up and then they experience and taste that success? Does that money not have the same probability of going just as quick? I'm not saying that one person.
So. I think the person that built themselves up with the $20 is going to have more
discipline,
a lot more discipline, and a lot more appreciation for each dollar.
And that may be another factor. Once again, I grew up poor. Like, poor isn't necessarily the word I would use to describe some of the situations that I was in when I was little. And so my value of money, because people see it and they're like, oh, you can't hide money. It's not necessarily that I am trying or not trying to hide it. It's that I appreciate the things I have. Like, most people don't realize that everything I have, and you know this, I take care of, and it means a lot to me, and I do what I can and make sure that stuff stays there. But it's just stuff.
You do. And the other thing about you, and for the listeners that know Alex or don't know Alex, you know, he may have things that he's acquired, but he always looks for, you know, a good deal. He doesn't just blow it on the first thing that comes along. He's very mindful when he does purchase something.
Right. Well, and not only mindful, but the other thing I think of is I'm always willing to give too. And that's
very, very true. This is something that I've watched because I've known Alex for what, almost 10 years now?
Long time.
And yes, this is a person that's not, he's not greedy when it comes to helping folks. He's there to help somebody when they need it.
Right. And that's a big thing. I think as you gain and as you earn and as the momentum moves forward, people look for, hey, how can I change? Not everybody, but I think some people, they look for, how can I change society? What can I do to better people that I've seen along the way? You know, one of the things that I think you always and everybody should be mindful is the people that you pass as you proceed forward. You know, I feel like there's what I call them trees. And that's people that are content with being where they are. They don't want forward movement, but they don't want backward movement. They just want to be there. And that's okay if that's where your mind, if you're comfortable with just being where you're at and you're happy, then be there. You know, no one's saying, hey, you always have to move forward. Now, if you want more out of life and you want success and you want some of the other things that some people desire, then it's not okay to be a tree. You also don't want to be a pile of mud where you're rolling downhill. So as you're progressing forward, you have to remember the trees that were there and the people that were there that helped you. Because the worst thing I think that can happen to people is they forget where they've been. You know, it that doesn't mean that, hey, if you grew up in the ghetto, you still have to be ghetto as you make it in life. But what it does mean is don't put down the people that were there and the people that supported you and surrounded you when you were up and coming. Don't put them down, but don't forget about them either. You know, and I think that's where you see a lot of success. And people that are experiencing success, I think that's where you see some regress, is people either they forget about it entirely or they go back and they do things maybe they shouldn't have done. You know, you take, for example, I don't know, Michael Vick, you know, dog fighting. I mean, that's maybe that's a millionaire sport. I don't know. To me, that's just plain cruelty. But that's some regression of where he could have headed with things. Now, I talk about that because that's a nationally known story. I don't talk about it to defame or anything like that. But he had a talent and has a talent as a football player and chose to involve himself with things that weren't necessarily of good character. You know, I think as you develop and evolve, you also build some good character, and you also have to remember some of the things that you've learned in life, and you continue forward. You also have to kind of fit where you're at. Me, for example, I wear shorts and a t-shirt. I'm tattooed. None of that's going to change. It doesn't.
Actually, aren't you wearing khakis today?
Just khakis. No, but none of that's going to change. It doesn't matter. I could make $10 million tomorrow. And if I did, I'm still going to wear shorts and a t-shirt the very next day. You know,
probably those, on a beach somewhere.
Well, maybe. There's not $10 million isn't a lot of money anymore. It seems like it. You know, we were listening to Dan Bilzerian the other day, and he talked about how he won $54 million.
In one hand.
With playing cards.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of money. Let's face it, $10 million is a lot of money, but $10 million is not an unfathomably large amount of money. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, not only to keep it, but to continue to build and grow more. Now, the one popular question you hear people say is, well, how much money do you need? I don't know. How much do they fucking make? You know? How much can you print? No, but at the end of the day, when you make more, you're able to help more. You're able to give
that's
more.
That's the thing. You can spend only so much, and only so much is going to make you happy on buying stuff. But when you have the ability to help a lot of other folks that you normally couldn't, that's a good feeling.
It is. And the thing is, when people think about stuff, like that interview we just talked about, there comes a point where stuff is no longer that big of a deal. You know, you get a new iPhone and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. I just got a new iPhone. Check this out, blah, blah, blah. But once you hit a plateau of success, an iPhone is just a phone. It's just a method of communication. It's nothing big. It's, you know, just like a Lamborghini becomes just a car. It's not like, dude, you need to go outside and check out all my Lamborghinis. They're fucking awesome. It's just a car, you know? And so, and I think that comes as you level up, but that falls back to don't forget when you didn't have a car. Don't be so greedy and so focused on the monetary things that you forget about the things that got you there, that you forget about the basic principles of a human being, which is growth and doing the right things to people. You know, I was thinking about it this weekend. Like, I'm a dickhead to you sometimes. I'll admit that. I said sometimes. But at the end of the day, you help my level of success. There's a lot of things that I couldn't do and wouldn't be successful at if you weren't there to fill that gap or that void.
Do
you
I
know,
complete you?
You complete me. Oh yeah. No, but seriously. And so being where I'm at, I don't ever forget that, hey, there's a reason why I'm here, which is why I do some of the things I do to try to be helpful to you and be helpful just as a friend. It's not just because I feel guilty. It's because I am at a level that I'm at because of your assistance of being there. And that falls into you as a good friend and as a good person in general. That speaks a lot for your character. But I think a lot of people get to a position and they forget about the people that supported them and got them to where they're going and get them to where they need to keep going. Because as we grow, our cheerleaders change. You know, and when I say cheerleaders, I'm not talking about the people that want to see you succeed. I want to talk about the people that want to criticize you or bring you down or say negative things, because those are cheerleaders too. Those are people that are criticizing your life, and you can either take what they're saying and allow it to bring you down, or you can take what they're saying and allow it to help you grow. Because you look at that and you say to yourself, hey, these people want to see me fail, but I'm just going to grow that much more, that much faster, because there's nothing more in this world that I want to do than to tell these people to fuck off. That's all there is to it, right? You know, you see that even in the mortgage world, there's always shit talkers somewhere. There's somebody that says, oh, you didn't do this, you can't do that. What about this? What about that? There's always someone that's jealous. Here's one point I want to toss out. This weekend, my dogs, okay? Stupid dogs. Actually, they're pretty smart. They're kind of stupid. But something, I did something, and their action sent a message to me. And that was this. When you focus on other people's palate or their food or their plate or whatever it is, you lose track of yours. You lose track of what's in front of you. Here's my example. Wally and Chloe, my two Weimaraners. Mm-hmm. I had a piece of toast. Okay. Nothing on it. You know, nothing that's going to crazily kill dogs. PETA, chill out. This is just an example. I ripped it in half and I tossed one half to Chloe and one half to Wally. Now I tossed Chloe's hers first. Wally stares at hers and I toss Wally's to him, but Wally doesn't see it. Chloe, being the smart dog she is, sees it drop. She picks up her piece and goes over and snatches his. Wally's left with nothing. Why? Because Wally was too worried about what was on her plate and not what was going to be on his. So he lost track of the prize, you know. Now one could say, well, what if the dog didn't know that they were going to get a half? Dogs are trained creatures of habit. If I give one to one, I'm always going to give one to the other. I'm not just going to be like, here you go, you're my favorite. I hate you. You get nothing. So being a creature of habit would tell you that the dog should expect that something eventually is going to be tossed his or her way, and that's what they're going to get for their treat. Well, in this case, like I said, Wally lost focus of his prize. He was too worried about what was going on with her to see that his prize was actually coming. Meanwhile, Chloe's like, I'm a scavenger. I'm picking all this shit up. You know, that's what she did. And to me, that taught me a valuable lesson about life. And that's when you focus on other people, you forget about the opportunities in front of you. And so when you're worried and you're sitting there and you're looking at, hey, this is what's going on in life, and this is what's going on in this person's life, you forget about the shit going on in yours. So if I was focused on the success and the belittlement of another loan officer, I would lose the opportunity that plant themselves right in front of me. I've said it time and time again. I've actually spoken to other agents that have spoken to people that are loan officers that had negative things to say. And it's funny because they preach that to these people, and these people sit there and they can see it. And they're like, I don't even want to be involved in that jealousy. So they literally burn up their own figuratively burn up their own opportunity because they're too worried about everybody else.
And how much energy does that take too?
It takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy to figure out what's wrong with other people. You know, like when these presidents and stuff, when they run for elections, they have teams of people that figure out bad shit about somebody else. Like, they literally have teams of people. That's their job, is to figure out bad things about other people. Imagine having to do that on a solo mission. Imagine being the person that has to figure out the bad thing about everybody else around you when you're in a shitty spot, you know? That's the thing I want people that are listening. I want you to focus on that. Focus on yourself, your growth, where you're going, where you're headed, not where everyone else is. Because do you want to be a leader or a follower? Follower, you find somebody else, you follow what they do, you replicate it, and you can get about half as much as they can. Because you're no longer an innovator. An innovator is a person that comes up with better ways and better ideas to do something better. So if you're following that person, that means you get the second thought. You've done it second. I mean, am I making any sense here? Am I just talking out of the side of my ass?
I think it's a lot of you're making a lot of sense, and you know,
kind of smart.
Just a little.
Just a little smart. But seriously. You know, as human beings, we have to take more time to do that. We have to take – and I'm not saying don't take lessons from somebody. If you see somebody that's doing something, they don't do it well, take a lesson from that.
Or if you admire somebody for the way that they do something.
That's yeah, thing to absolutely.
A motivational
there is.
Things that you can find, the good. But I think you're mainly talking about the bad stuff that you see.
I am talking about the bad. But we all have to have somebody that we follow to some degree. And hopefully those people that we follow are at levels of success where we want to be. You go look at my top 10 people on the wall. Those are people that are at a higher level of success than I am currently. Will I eventually reach that level? Yes. Will those faces change? Possibly. You never know when somebody will do something that's shorthanded or something like that, and you're like, that was a little too edgy for me. I don't want to follow that. But as we grow, so do the things around us. So our habits and our fans and the people that we idol, that changes. You know, it's funny. Rick Ross, he's a rapper. I know you have no idea who he is. He has a song, it's When Idols Become Rivals. And he talks about people that he idolized, and they now become his competition. Because he grew to the point where he was idolizing those people, but his success that he saw over time got him to the same level. And the people he idolized didn't have the same reciprocation of feelings back to him. So now the idolization became a rival relationship. Because now he's got to be better than these people or do just as well, because it's not a friendship anymore. Now it's war. And it's crazy when you look at that, because when you idolize people, it's easy for them to stick their hand downwards towards you. It's almost like the idea of the king. You know, a king's throne's always higher than everybody else's. Why? Because the king's in power and wants the physical appearances to look down to people. And so when you get on the king's level, and I'm using this as a metaphoric standpoint, but when you get to the king's level, then what do? You can't look down on him anymore. So what do you do next? Well, history would tell us you kill him, you know, if they don't work with you, obviously, if they're not your ally, you get rid of them, you squash them. And that's what he's talking about in that song, is the way that people have evolved and got to a higher level. And suddenly they get to that level where no longer are they a person you idolize or a person that you now have a rival to. So it's just crazy when you think about that, the evolution of a person, the evolution of success and things in life that I think we have to hit a certain level before we start seeing that. You know, imagine if you and I just woke up and we were the trees, okay? And all we did is, hey, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to go punch my clock. I'm going to do the same 10 pieces of paperwork. Then I'll make the same 9 phone calls. I'm going to eat lunch at noon. I'm going to get out of lunch. Can't wait to leave at 5. Imagine if that was us. And you never see that. You never see that rivalry and that idolization. All those things change because you never progress forward from your current state. You're okay with just being what we call lemmings. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I know you're sitting there nodding your head, and people that are listening, they're like, I can't hear Jeff say shit. That's because Jeff is very nonverbal.
I'm nodding my head over here.
Right.
Yeah. It's
a crazy world, right? You're at a loss for words. Is that what's going on here? Okay. I'm just making sure. You know,
I mean, you're hard to rival with.
Well, so. I'm like a lyrical rapper, you know. I just say what I have to say, and it just comes out just such silky smooth flow.
Yeah, but do it twice, the same way.
Well, that's why I record this, so I don't have to do it. I replicate what it is I say one time, and then it can be repeated over and over and over. That's why we record these shows,
right?
So I don't have to say it live. But no, I mean, that's true. Now, I can bury the same concept, you know, but it's funny what I take lessons off of. Like, who would look at their two dogs and be like, hey, this dog just did this, and this is the reaction they got, and this is how it relates to life. That's how my mind's kind of fucked up, though. As I think about things like that, I was literally standing in the shower and I was like, I wonder if the person that was given $1 million is considered by society more successful or less successful than the person that had $20 in their pocket and made $1 million. And so those are things I consider. That's why I'm able to provide value to people that are listening to these podcasts, because I think of the fucked up things that they've probably already thought of before.
You know, and that's a monetary thing too. I mean, it's great to have monetary gain. But there's other success in life too that people, you know, hit, and they still have to struggle and get to that point. Not just the monetary, but like, say the single mom that raises a child by herself, and that kid goes to college or whatever the case is. But never made $1 million, but she did something worth a lot as well.
I agree 100%, and you have a great point there, and that's a great point for another podcast, because the state we're talking about now is the society's perception
of success.
Of success, right. Now, and you're absolutely right. My mom, for example, would be considered a successful mother. Why? Because her sons are successful. Her daughter's successful, you know. That would be considered a level of success that a single mom would look at another single mom and say, hey, I hope my children eventually become what your children are.
Right.
But that perception of my success is much different. Now, does Michael Jordan's mom get the same reaction as my mom would? Absolutely not. Because Michael Jordan's a multi-billionaire, championship ball player, extremely talented individual. So somebody that looks at Michael Jordan's mom is going to have a different perception of what success is than somebody that looks at my mom or your mom or anyone else's mom. Sure. You know? So and that was the key. I want to make that clear. My key to this whole thing was the perception from society of what they consider success. Because I think if somebody is given $1 million, society as a whole says they were given that money. They forget about the balance and everything else that goes into maintaining and keeping that money. Whereas the person with $20, that story is always told. Think about how many TV shows you've watched in the beginning. It's like, I was on my way out of town. I had $20 in my pocket, and I had this brilliant idea that came up, and that was to be a successful real estate entrepreneur.
Right.
And now they have a TV show, and they're like, check this out. I got 79,000 different listings, and here's where I am today, and here's my Ferrari, and here's my Bentley, and here's this, and here's that. You never hear of a person on TV, and they're like, my grandpa gave me $1 million, and I invested that into this business, and this is what I did, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's
it's society's perception of success.
But they're both successful.
They are. They're right. both successful because it takes a lot to take that any amount sure. of money. You know, look at all the failed businesses where there's been investors that have backed it and they've lost that money. Mm-hmm. You know, look at a lot of the people that have Ponzi schemes and things like that, where they, on the surface, it's a successful business, but in the background, they're drowning. You know, those are things that we have to keep in mind. But we're running out of time. It was a great podcast, as always. Number 60, the big 6-0. God, you know, here in a few years, we'll be like, yeah, we're turning 60.
Don't
start. Is that, can we be successful by 60? Hopefully when I'm 60, I'm like, hopefully I'm still doing a podcast. Because that would be awesome.
I think you'll definitely be doing a podcast at 60.
Maybe. What would I be talking about?
I don't even want to know.
I could do like, you know, because I have a deep voice and everyone's like, oh, you have such a nice deep voice. I could do like.
By the way, listeners, I'm trying to get Alex to start singing.
Alex is not going to sing anything.
Alex is going to sing.
Whatever. But the deep voice, I thought maybe I can do like, you know, Fabio, the book guy,
yeah.
the lover. I can be like narrating his stuff and be like, so he touched her hand
gently. I think
gently.
Well, let's work on the singing first.
Whatever. All right. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Episode 60, big milestone for me. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for everything that you do. We appreciate you. Talk to you soon.